some beautiful Torahs on Achrimos and Kedoshim. But we're going to leave those aside, and we're going to pick up instead with Pirkei Avos Perek Gimel. As we know, each week of the Sfira, on the Shabbos afternoon, we study Pirkei Avos, and this week is Perek Gimel. And again, I told you, the Kajetzer Magid has unbelievably profound and many teachings on Pirkei Avos. Okay, so we'll learn a couple of them. We'll taste a little bit. Let's begin with the first one, the first Mishnah. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer. Akavya ben Mahalalel said, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein atabo lidehavera. Histakel means to stare, to look deeply, to contemplate in a deep way these three things, and you will not come to sin. Do, you should know me'ayin basa, know from where you came. Ula'ana taholech, and know where you're going. Ulefnei mi'ata osid litein din v'cheshbon. And who you're going to stand before as you are being judged. And then the Mishnah continues. Again, he only gave us part of the Mishnah on the screen, on the page in front of us, so I'm going to read you the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Mitipa srucha. Every one of us started off as a drop of seed, as a drop of zera. Ula'ana taholech, and where are you going? L'makom afar rima v'soleya. Our bodies are going back to the dirt, to a place of worms and maggots. L'fnei mi ata osid litein din v'cheshbon, and before whom are you going to stand in judgment? L'fnei melech, malchei hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he begins with a question that bothered many tzaddikim, which is, why does the Mishnah repeat itself? Think about these three things and you won't sin. Me'ayin basa, l'ana taholech, l'fnei mi ata osid litein din v'cheshbon. Excuse me. And then it repeats it. Me'ayin basa, mitipasrucha, l'ana taholech. You didn't need to introduce the three categories and then repeat the three categories and explain them. Yesh ledaktik. Lama chazer va'amar me'ayin basa mitipasrucha. Why does the Mishnah have to introduce it and then go back and say, where did you come from? From a putrid drop. And where are you going? Back to the dirt. Right? Why not just put it together in one passage, Hayayachal Lomar Da Me'ayin Basa, where do you come from? Mitipas Rucha. Why introduce it and then review it and answer the question? Va'od Yesh L'daktik Al Milas Da. And furthermore, we need to contemplate this word, Da. Right? You could put it in quotes. Right? Da Me'ayin Basa. What's with the word Da? Shelech Orahu Miyusar Shekvar Hischav Amar Histakel. You already told me to to think deeply or to look deeply into these things. So why do you need to say, da, you should know, you already told me to be mistakel. You already told me to contemplate it seriously. V'teretu ha-mefarshim, the mefarshim explain, meaning the mefarshim ha-pshat, right, the mefarshim, the classic commentaries on Pirkei Avos, Tosfos Yom Tov, Medrash Shmuel, other tzaddikim address this question, and they explain, she'ein hastaklus shayach ele b'davar gashmi. To be mistakel means to look at something, but to physically see it, and to look at it and to try to think about it, to stare at it, to study it. But it means first and foremost something you could physically see. Kugon me'ayin basa ul'ana taholech. When I look at a person, I can contemplate, where did he come from? He came from a drop of seed, right? That's not a theoretical thing. That's a biological reality. La'ana taholech. Right? We can understand the decomposition of the body after it's placed in the ground. These are things that you could see with your eyes. But before whom are you going to stand in judgment? You can't see that. You can't see Hashem. Right? You can't describe standing before Hashem in judgment as to be mistakel. You can't look at Hashem, you can't see Hashem, and therefore da, you have to know it in your mind. It's not something that you can see. Okay, that's how the Mefarshim explain this word da, to distinguish between the parts of the Mishnah that you, things you could actually contemplate by looking at, physically seeing, and those things which, again, you can only contemplate in your mind's eye. But let's go further. V'nira od liyashiv, let's go a step further. Shemilas da kai al me'ayin basa disamachli. It could also be that the word da, you should know, me'ayin basa, right? So again, the pashup shot is they're saying, no, you could be mistakel me'ayin basa. Right? A person could study, right? How is seed is able to fertilize an egg and create a child. But da, you also need to know me'ayin basa. What does that mean? Behektim apasuk. Let's quote the pasuk in Koheles. Me pasuk in Koheles says in the third parak, Mi yodeya ruach b'nei adam ha'olehi lamala v'ruach ha'behima ha'yoredeshi lamata. Who can understand, who could grasp the very nature of the spirit of man that ascends above and the spirit of a behema that descends below? What does that mean? Ki ba'adam yesh bo ruach hi neshama shichelek alokam imal. There's a part of us, what we call the neshama, a part of ourselves which is a part, a chelek elokam imal, is a piece of divinity, kiviyachol, or mamish. Right? It's a piece of Hashem. There's a neshama inside of us that is pure holiness. V'yesh bo ruach habehema hu aguf hayiradis lamata. But there's also a spirit, a living spirit within a person. Call it the nefesh habahamis. That's what Jack would call it, right? Or call it, or just call it the body, right? There's a part of ourself which represents sort of the lower part of a person. So this pasuk in Koheles that describes the ruach of a person above and the ruach of behema below is not just people versus animals. However, within every person, there's a part of me that's nothing other than ruchnius. There's nothing other than elokus, and there's a part of me that's an absolute animal. So therefore, explains our Rebbe, right? There's a chelek of a person. There's the guf, which is behema. There's the neshama, which is a chelek elokam imal. Aval ha-neshama ha-kedosh, so the guf is going to be yored lamata. Aval ha-neshama ha-kedosh ha-bavadei ein ha-holechas l'makom rima v'soleya. But obviously at the time that a person dies, the neshama doesn't go to a place of rotting. The neshama is forever. Where does the neshama go? Raki ola lamala el makora l'chayim nitzchias. However, today is netzach shebenetzach, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is that correct? What's today's sphere? Yes? Yehuda approves. Netzach shebenetzach. That means we remind ourselves that there's a part of ourselves that is forever, forever. Not just temporarily forever. It's forever, forever. It's netzach shebenetzach. So that's the neshama. That's the chelek elokam imal. That's the part of ourselves that, of course, doesn't go to rot in the grave. And therefore, v'hatana amr dvar b'trei ape. Therefore, the Tana repeats himself in saying the Mishnah, where do you come from? Me'ayin basa. And then it repeats it. Me'ayin basa miti pasrucha. There's two me'ayin basas. There's a me'ayin basa of the guf. Yes, my body comes from a little drop of seed. A tipa srucha is a very derogatory way to describe it. A tipa srucha means a putrid drop. And at the same time, me'ayin basa also has a spiritual component. And that's why we asked the question twice. Me'ayin basa, where does my neshama come from? Oh, you know what the answer is? Neged ha'neshama amar, duh, you should know. You can't see it, but you should know me'ayin basa, that you come from a place of ayin. Ayin means a place of infinity, a place of ein sof, a place of endless ruchnius, right? Me'ayin basa, a place that's totally beyond. Ki neged ha'neshama ein shayach lashon histakel. V'tzarech ata ledas be'ein sichlecha. You're not able to see such a thing. I can't see my soul. I can see my body. I can't see my soul. So I can't be mistakel on my soul, because mistakel again means to see it with a physical eye. But I can contemplate. I can think. I can remind myself that my neshama comes from tachas kisei hakavod. And that's a big schus. That's a tremendous schus. And therefore, we need to think about both parts. We need to think about where the body comes from. We need to think about where the neshama comes from. And then we go further. Ula'ana taholech. We need to think where we are going. What does that mean? You need to think about, why did Hashem, if that's true, wait, if I come from kisei hakavod, so why did Hashem send me down to this mishugana world? La'ana taholech shan neshama murkeves beguf. The neshama is combined with a body. V'tzarech ledas lama hirkiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu neshama shi'chelek alokam imal el aguf hagashmi. Why would Hashem do that? Why would Hashem take a pure, sweet, innocent neshama and combine it with a physical body? It's a wondrous thing and it's a strange thing. It's wondrous that, first of all, that it can happen. And it's strange that Hashem would want that to happen. Why would Hashem want that? V'nitna l'ba'olam ha'shafel hazeh, to send my neshama, my sweet, innocent neshama, down to this lowly world, to this Meshuggah world, Male taivos v'chabados, a world full of taiva and chemda and all sorts of desires. Why did Hashem do that? Kedei sh'aneshama tizgaber ala taivos v'chabados. The reason is because Hashem wants you to be able to overcome those struggles. What's the point? I didn't struggle with them before. You send me here so I could what? So I could not struggle with them in a world where there's a struggle? And the answer is yes. Kedei sh'yavod es Hashem uvezeh yeh yoser tanuk. Because of course we know that when a person fights for something, it's much more meaningful. The end of Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra, and according to the struggle is the gain. So Hashem could have left us Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and we could continue to just soak up the godliness of that experience. But Hashem says, I want you to have a more geshmak experience. So yes, I take your neshama, La'ana Taholech, and I send you down to this crazy world. And you fight through the taiva and the chemda of this world, and you come back to the Olam HaEmes, and you receive a much greater tanuk. In the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim, this world is called a tita yavein, the mud, right? The murky waters, right? The quicksand, tita yavein. Shabo tzadikim somchen. But just like you need to put a seed in the earth in order to grow, so Hashem puts us in the dirt. Hashem sends us down to this dirty world, right? But dirty not in a negative sense, dirt in the sense of earth, an earthly world, dirt that allows something to sprout. Shabo tzadikim tzomchen. Ulesham hishlich nitzotzin kadishin. Hashem sprinkles, so to speak, the nitzotzos throughout the world. Vitzarach adam lilaket osam ulahalosam. And Hashem gives us the opportunity to be gardeners, right? To collect, like we spoke about, like we mentioned, to be a gardener in the garden of Hashem. Imagine a father challenges his son. He takes precious gems and he scatters them through a garbage heap. And he tells his son, go in the garbage heap, and whatever you find is yours to keep. Go find those diamonds, polish them, wash them off, and they're yours to keep. Bavada yoser shabino locate umanaka osam bavada yoser makabas charmehem. So the more he, has to go digging in the trash to find it, but when he finds it, he'll appreciate it that much more. Why did the king do that? Why would a ben melech have, why would a father send his son into the garbage heaps? Because he says, I could just give you the credit card, and you could go buy whatever you want, but you're not going to enjoy it that way. I know I could do that. Hashem could do that for us also. Hashem could give us everything for free, but that's not geshmak. The Nachash's curse in Gan Eden was that he gets free food. He eats the dirt for free. That's a terrible curse. That's Hashem's way of saying, take the credit card and get lost. Hashem gave us the opportunity and the challenge to work through the mud, through the murky waters of this world, the titay avein. And through putting ourselves into the mud, we become that fruit, that flower, that beautiful produce that sprouts from the mud. V'yuchal adam lahavin sheba'olam haza, machmas shifluso, yuchal adam lahasig mailos gedolos. And a mature person understands that dafka, because this world is such a lowly world, a person is able to attain unbelievable things. But you got to be engaged. You got to be engaged. Otherwise, of course, your neshama can be much more damaged. But it's a risk that Hashem is willing to take, because Hashem knows we can do it. But it's our job now to do it. And then he says an amazing thing, and I need you to remember this for a couple of months, okay? Seth, you'll remember this for a few months for me? I need you to hold on to this for a couple of months. U'bevada kach yesh yamin b'shana shehem shfeilim. There are certain times in the calendar year that are very, very low. Extremely low days. Dahainu Bein HaMitzarim, for example, the 3 weeks. Those are days, of course, that are going to be transformed into the biggest celebration. But the Bein HaMitzarim right now are the most broken days. But with the right attitude, Yuchal Adam Yoser Lahalos Yoser Nitzotzos V'Yoser Avanam Tovos U'Margolios Yuchal Lelakit Behemu Lahalosam. During those days, a person has the ability to gather the most stones at a time of what? At a time that's our most uncomfortable point of the year, the 3 weeks, the 9 days. And then he writes an unbelievable line. Chevra, if you have the Sefer open in front of you, please underline it. Uma sheyuchal adam lesakin b'tishavav, shehu b'shiflus, eina yachol lesakin b'simchas Torah. That which a Jew can experience in the tishavav moments of his life is much greater than what a person could accomplish in the Simchas Torah moments of his life. V'chein lehefech. And the opposite is also true. Sometimes the most happy moments of our life can be the most spiritually destructive. You're so happy you got the big job. But it could be that that job is going to destroy you spiritually. A person, it's hard to know, you know, what are considered the opportunities and what is not. Right? But a person can sometimes grow from the difficulties of life. Tisha B'Av doesn't just mean the day of Tisha B'Av. It means the Tisha B'Av type moments of one's life. A person can sometimes grow from those moments more than they can grow from the Simchas Torah moments of their life. And then our Rebbe goes one step further. He says, Ki charutzim yamav shel adam. Because a person's days are, in a sense, predetermined. Right? They're fated, in a sense. Right? Charutzim. Uvechol yom vayom tzarech ha'adam la'asos tikunim shenachrat alav davar yom biyomo. There's a certain mission that is assigned to you, that is placed upon you for each particular day. Umasha yuchol latakin biyom zeh lo yuchol latakin l'machar. What you can achieve today, you cannot achieve tomorrow. You're not able to do tomorrow. Today's avoda is unique. Today, the 25th day of the Omer, Netzach Sheva Netzach, is a unique moment in time. Don't blow it. Make it a great day. Because tomorrow we're out and we're collecting different gems. We're bringing up different sparks of holiness in this world. And that's what it means. Vezesh and Amar, that's what we find by the man. What was the idea of the man? Why couldn't Hashem give us a week's supply? What was the day in and day out collection of the man? And the answer is Hashem was teaching Klal Yisrael that a Jew has to take it one day at a time. And a Jew has to be dedicated day in and day out to doing the job. There's no off days. It's both comforting and it's obligating. V'zeh shenemer v'loktu dvar yom biyomo, that they collected the mud each day, daika. U'kamaymer ha-zohar ha-kadosh, and like the Zohar says, levushin delavish v'tzafra lo lavash beramsha. The clothing you wear in the morning is not the clothing you wear at night. Right? The clothing you wear during the day is not the clothing you wear at night. Levushin de lavash biyoma da, lo lavash biyoma da. The clothing that you wear on this day, lo lavash biyoma da. You do not wear on that day. Each day is an entirely unique opportunity. Okay, I want to stop this piece here because I want to get to some other things. So let's turn now to Mishnah Zion. Debating if we should do Vav or Zion, but we keep a little eye on the clock here. So let's scroll ahead for a minute here. Let's go to Mishnah Zion.
Okay. Can I just reference a different Mishnah for a second?
Sure.
In the beginning of the second parak, we actually looked at the beginning of the Mishnah last week. Rabbi Omer.
Okay.
She ends the Mishnah by saying Histaka b'shosh devarim ve'enata b'li de'avira, the same way as Zakav Mahala.
Okay.
And then I remembered the Mishnah, so I went back to see if there is any connection. And then I realized that he actually uses the Lashon of Da right after he says that also. He says, and then he says, So I was thinking that there must be a connection because it's a Histaka B'Shosh Devarim B'Yatavadevira, but I think there's probably a deeper connection also with this Lashon of Histakel and then Da afterwards.
Yeah, that right. Now we know the code, all right? Our Rebbe now gave us the code. Histakel is being able to look at something that you could physically see and understand it deeply. And Da represents knowing something that's really beyond you. Rabbi Nachman always, often will begin by saying Da, right? Which is Rabbi Nachman's way of saying that this comes from the highest place and try to understand it in your mind's eye, even though sometimes it's very hard to, to picture it the way that you would see something with physical eyes. You know, let's begin actually just a drop of this Mishnah over here, Mishnah Vav. Here it says Mishnah Ches. My edition in front of me says Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos are broken up in different ways according to different editions. Okay, but let's actually do just a drop of Mishnah Vav because it actually leads in nicely to Mishnah Ches. Okay, so Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana Omer, called a makaba olav ol Torah, ma'avir nimenu ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. The more a person accepts upon himself commitment to Torah, he frees himself from ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. In other words, if you make your life busy with Torah, then Hashem says, I will not make you busy with other things. But if you throw off the old Torah, if you remove the old Torah, so Hashem says, I see you have too much spare time, so I'm going to make you busy with other things. I'm going to make your boss more demanding. I'm going to make your job more demanding. I'm going to make old Malchus, I'm going to place the burden of society, the government. Malchus means the government. I'm going to place, you know, the IRS on your tail, just to keep you on your toes, right? Because if you're not living in the presence of Hashem, so Hashem says, I need you to have some bittul to something. But the more I accept, I'm a vatal myself to Hashem, and I carry the yoke of Torah proudly. So then Hashem says, so I'll free you up. I'll give you more time, right? That's part of the answer, by the way, when we say in Shema that if you keep the Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'll make it rain and I'll make your produce grow. That's the reward for Torah and mitzvahs, that you get rain and produce. I thought you get something so much more. And the answer is, that's not the reward per se. But that's Hashem's way of saying that when you do the right thing, I'll make your life in this world easier, so you have more time to learn Torah. But if you're not serious about Torah, so Hashem says, okay, so you've got too much free time, and I'll place other worldly responsibilities and burdens upon you to keep you busy. Okay, but let's understand, says the Kaddish Tzermagid, Ol Torah, hu she'al yedei haTorah yodeya b'mala avod ezborah. What does it mean to take upon oneself the Ol of Torah? It means, first and foremost, that through Torah, a person knows how to serve Hashem. After all, that's what Torah is, right? Torah is not just something that we read and then we don't do. Ki Shema Torah begin de orei. It's called, its name is Torah, begin in that it's orei, in that it teaches, it guides. Ki hi hamora darche Hashem avodaso. Right? It is the guide to avodas Hashem. And of course, that's why we need to attach ourselves deeply to it. Because how could I even begin to claim I'm going to serve God if I don't know what God wants? V'zeh ha-mekabel alav. Now listen. Ha-mekabel alav ratza lomar. K'madat amar. What does it mean to be mekabel the old Torah? What does mekabel mean? If I say, Gabe Maron, I want you to be mekabel this gift from me. I'm giving him a present. Gabe, I want you to be mekabel. Mekabel means to receive, right? Who did for who in that situation? I did for you. You just took it. So in what sense are we mekabel old Torah? I would think that old Torah is something that we're doing for Hashem. No? That I'm accepting, right? Mekabel's funny. Mekabel usually means like I'm passive. And taking on the responsibility of Torah, I would think is a very active responsibility. That I'm choosing to engage. I'm not sitting back. I have to immerse myself in it. I have to make great effort. So what does it mean, makabel? How am I makabel a love? So he explains, that's exactly the point. Ratzalomer kamad atamar v'chula makabel malayim o malchus shemayim zemizeh. When it says about the angels, that the angels are makablim o malchus shemayim from one another, do you ever think about what that even means? What does that mean? Chula makabel malayim o malchus shemayim zemizeh. Ratzalomer. Sha'af shenosim malayim o malchus. What does it mean to be makabel from one another? It means that even though, yes, you are the one who's going to have to carry the yoke and take that responsibility and make the effort, but don't forget for a second, if you woke up this morning and you decided, I want to learn Torah, you have to say thank you that Hashem put such an idea on your head. What do you mean? I did for you, Hashem. I did for you this morning. I got up and I did for you. No. Hashem says, no, I gave you the strength to want to choose to learn Torah. Even that is a gift from Hashem. To realize that whatever they have, they're actually receiving from Hashem. Even though it looks like we're trying to give back to Hashem, we're the ones who are taking from Hashem. And there's an understanding that we cannot do anything without a Kaddish Baruch Hu's support, without a Kaddish Baruch Hu making it happen. So if that's true in the world of the angels, that the angels recognize that what? That they need a lot of support from Hashem to do whatever it is they do. All the more so, us human beings, alachas kama v'kama, we need to know in the deepest way, we need to know that we have nothing of our own. Ki kol avodaseinu hu rak mikoach haborei yotzer hakol yizbarach shemo sha'anu mekablim mimenu. We need to know in the deepest way that when we're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of Torah, accepting, Hashem is giving us the opportunity and giving us the strength to be able to choose to serve Him. Yes, we have bechira. Yes, we have free will, as we're about to see in the next piece. Yes, of course, we choose it in that sense. But at the same time, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's realize that even our bechira, in some cryptic way, is a gift from Hashem. If you have amunah in Hashem, you say, "Yeah, I choose to believe in God. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the amunah to believe in you." It's a very deep idea. To be makabel ol malchus shemaim is an interesting lashon, and we wouldn't have seen that if we didn't have our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, to guide us. Okay, let's go to the next Mishnah because it's a continuation of this idea. Rabbi Lazar ish bar toisa omer. Tain lo mishalo, she'ata v'shelcha shalo. Give him from that which is his, because you and yours are really his. You don't own anything in this world. Nothing that we have is ours. What does it mean that you and yours is his? What's yours? Is yours your possessions? Your cell phone in your pocket belongs to Hashem? What's yours? You and yours is his. What does that mean? Romez b'milas shelcha, al inyan habachira, asher nimsra la'adam. The thing that is given to you that is most yours, right, is your ability to choose, is your free will. That's the greatest gift Hashem ever gave you. Kamaimer, like it says, v'harishus nisuna, permission has been granted. It's biyad adam la'asos kiretzono im tov im ra. It's up to you to decide, chavra. No one's going to force your hand. Not your spouse, not your Rebbe, not your parents, not even the Hashem himself. The choice is yours. Harashus nesuna. The choice is yours to do what you want with your life. Mikol makom, gam osa habechira hibiyad habore yisbarach. But in some very deep and secretive way, which we can't even put into words, we have to maintain a humility to realize that even my bechira, when I choose good, I still say thank you to Hashem. Why? I made a choice. You gave me free will. I made a choice. But you have to thank Hashem for helping you to make that choice. Because in some secretive way, as much as you have free will, Hashem is all-knowing. Which means, in a sense, v'ashkacha pratis, Hashem is guiding your choices. Ach shedavar zeh inenu musag l'shum birya ba'olam. We can't put this idea into words. We can't understand, well, which is it? Do I have choice or do I not have choice? And he says, I've explained this in many of my other writings. And again, we pointed out at the beginning of the year that the Avodas Yisrael has many, many svarim beyond the Avodas Yisrael, many writings, and he grapples with some of these most difficult questions. So he says, "Ve'im kein bevadai lo yitochein sheyizga adam al avodaso." But here's why. Here's how it applies halacha lemaisa. Don't be a baal gaiva. On the day you finish shas, mirtz Hashem, and you invite me to your siyum, right? I'm going to say, "Wow, it's so amazing, Avi! You finished all of shas. It's such an accomplishment. You should be so proud of yourself." And you're going to say, "Rebbe, don't you remember the Avodas Yisrael?" And I'll say, "No, I never remember anything." So he'll say, "Let me remind you. We learned once upon a time that the Avodas Yisrael says that when a person accomplishes things by his own free will and his own effort, it's not his. She'ata v'shelecha shelo, it's Hashem's. And therefore the Avodas Yisrael says, don't ever become a baal gaiva in your avoda. V'hatovas ritzono, I did so many good things today. I should feel good about myself." You should, but you should also remind yourself, "Thank you, Hashem, for helping me to make those good choices. Ki hu me'eis Hashem yisbarach," because it's all from Hashem. And that's what David HaMelech says. That's what's reflected in the Pesukim in Divrei HaYamim. Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha nasnu lach. Ki mimcha hakol, everything is from you. Umiyadcha, from your yad. What is a yad? Yad means your strength. Yad hu lashon koach reshus. It's only with your reshus. Ratzolomer av zeh haratzon. V'yad psucha sheyeshli litein staka. Even when I stick out my hand, I dip it to my pocket, to my hard-earned money, and I give it to someone. And I give it to tzedakah. Avze atanosin li. Hashem, not only did you give me the money, but you gave me the strength to give it to tzedakah. So it's one thing to say, I'm giving the tzedakah because I know God gave me the money, but I'm choosing to give the tzedakah. No, no, no. My willingness to give the tzedakah also comes from Hashem. And therefore a person with this outlook always remains humble. He never allows himself to in any way stray, because he knows he puts himself in his place. He understands that everything that he has, even his bechira chafshis, in a sense, comes from Hashem. Very, very deep idea. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Hamahalich B'derech, those who were at the Baal Shem Tov Shir on Tuesday night, we saw this idea in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Almost very, very similar language. Here he quotes it B'Shem Denoam Melimelech and other Sifrei Kodesh, but it could be the idea goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. So just very quickly. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Hamahalich B'derech V'shoneh, a person is walking on the road and they're learning. Umafsik mi mishnaso, and he interrupts his learning. He's reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh, and he stops his learning. Va'omer ma na ilan ze, ma na anir ze. How beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this plowed field? So much potential. Mala alav akosov ki ilu mischayev benafsho. We equate it as if this person has put his life on the line. How could you break away from your learning in order to what? In order to just, you know, acknowledge the beauty of a tree. That's more beautiful than the middle of the Torah. How can you stop your learning to look at Hashem's beautiful world? Right? Sounds kind of intense. Okay, let's see. Al derech shenizkar b'sefer nun aleph. We can explain based on what's found sefer Noam Elimelech Ushar Sefer Kodesh. Moshe kasavti b'chibur zeh, and as I myself explain later on in my things on Pirkei Avos, v'hainu, kishaadam lo me Torah, parach lios teraso mishneh Torah. When a person learns Torah, there needs to be a double Torah, a mishneh Torah. What does it mean to make learning a double Torah? Well, v'hainu, b'zeh ha'olamad, there's the Torah as it exists, as you understand it and live it in this world. Vigam tzarach lios bokeya chalone rakia b'toraso la'alos v'lilmod kamo kein v'olamos elyonim. But there's also an element of your Torah that has to pierce through the heavens. It's bokeya chalone rakia. He pierces the heavens with his Torah. It ascends to the highest heights. Right. So my Torah, every Torah, when I learn Torah, I have to remind myself there's something very, very down to earth about Torah, and there's something entirely transcendent about Torah. That's one of the great, wonders of Torah, that it could be so relevant that it manifests itself within physical reality and in the minutia of halacha, of physical existence, and yet at the same time it's the loftiest concepts that far transcend anything physical. So that's what it means. Vishona umafsik mimishnaso. We encounter a person walking on the road and he's learning, but his Torah is what? He's mafsik mimishnasa. What does that mean? Ratzolomar. Shemafsik zos ha-mishnah. He fails to what? To live that double Torah. There are some people who learn Torah, but they're not able to appreciate simultaneously. And this is what we were learning yesterday, by the way. Right? The whole world of Rishon Bar Yochai is the world of what? Is the world of recognizing that the same Torah that applies in a very physical, down-to-earth, olam hazeh, halacha lamaisa sense, also has layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of pnimius beyond. So a person, God forbid, who's learning, but he's mafsik mimishnaso, but he doesn't value, he doesn't appreciate and understand the double nature of Torah. In other words, she'eino mechuber b'toraso b'olamos helyonim, his Torah is not connected to that which is bigger than himself. So then you know what happens? Again, the same problem that we had in the last Mishnah. He becomes a Baal Gaiva. Because he starts to think, I understand the entire Torah. Yeah, you understand the nigla of Torah, but there's infinite Torah that you don't understand anything. The more we realize how deep Torah is, the more humble we remain. V'zeh al yedei sha'omer ma na'a ilan zeh. So you know what caused him, what stopped him from appreciating something bigger than himself? The answer is, he became a Baal Gaiva. And therefore, he wanted to almost believe that he had a full grasp of things. It's very crushing to this person to think that I still know so little after all my efforts. So he becomes a Baal Gaiva and he says, how beautiful is this tree? You know what tree he's talking about? I'll tell you, Yaakov. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about himself. He looks himself in the mirror and he says, ah, ma na ilan zeh. I'm a chash of a ilan. Like the pasuk says, ki adam eitz asada. Right? A person is like a tree of the field. Sha'odam nikra ilan. Right? A strong person, and he's an ilan. I'm a beautiful, strong, powerful tree, deeply rooted with fruit on top. Umishabeach atzmo, va'omer yafa lamadti umachzik tova la'atzmo. He pats himself on the back and he says, "I'm a big tzaddik," and because of that, he feels like, "Yeah, I know Hashem. Yeah, I know Torah." There has to be a part of us that says, "Hashem, I don't know the first thing about you." Hashem, I don't know the first thing about your Torah. It is so deep, and I'm so fortunate to have this chus to study it. Ma na nir zeh. The fellow in the Mishnah says, how beautiful is this, what is this field? What does that mean? Kamo niru lachem nir. Shehu achana lizria. A field that's been plowed and ready to what? Ready to be planted. This person says, I'm ready to receive what? To receive the things that I've earned, right? I've prepared myself. Now give me the reward, Hashem. Kahu Omer al Atzmo, Ma Noa Chana Zosha Sisi. Yes, I've prepared myself. I've earned my place in the Olam Emes. Umizgoek Tzas Belibo B'Torso. And he becomes a Baal Gaiva because of this. Ubalo Belibo Eza Hisparus Upnia Michidushe Torah Shalamad. He starts to become a Baal Gaiva. He starts to feel a little too proud of his own Chidushim in Torah. Val Yedeza Mafsik Zos. And because of that, he loses his connection to that which is above him. He starts to see Torah only for its lower dimension. And obviously, you could take this to an extreme. You could take it to a person who's literally not Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, but is an academic scholar of Torah. Right? Like the hopefully apocryphal tale, you know, of a Jew in Volozhin who is sitting smoking a cigarette on Shabbos learning the Gemara because he got intellectual stimulation from it. Right? That's a person who's brought Torah down to this world, but is totally disconnected from above. So when a person lives like that, yeah, now we understand why the Mishnah is so harsh. Hareza mischayev benafsha. Yes, he puts his life on the line for such an offense. He has stripped the Torah of its soulfulness. Because the way that he's learning Torah is nothing other than, so go do something else. Go play basketball. Go make money. I don't know. Go read. I don't know. Go read a book. Go do something else. What does your Torah have to do with God? You've detached it from its ruchnius, from its attachment in the higher worlds. And therefore, be careful. Every one of us should never be mafsik mimishnaso. Our Torah should always be a double Torah. Okay, Chaver, let's do one more little piece. We'll end with Mishnah Yud. Rabbi Dostai Bar Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer. And Rabbi Meir has to be on our mind. We're going to talk about Rabbi Meir soon, Amir Tzashem. Rabbi Meir's Yartzeit is coming up. Anyone know what Rabbi Meir's Yartzeit is? It's a big holiday before we get to Lag BaOmer. Pesach Sheni. When's Pesach Sheni? You guys need matzah? I have a little extra matzah if anyone needs. When's Pesach Sheni? Anyone know? When? Monday. Alisa Weinberg says Monday. See? That's why it's very important to bring your wife to share. Okay, thank you. Okay, so Monday, Sunday night is Pesach Sheni. Okay? It's the yard site of Rabbi Meir, the Heilige Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai's friend, Rabbi Kiva's Talmud. So Rabbi Dostai Bar Yanai said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Kol Hashocheach Davar Echad Mimishnaso Mala Olav Akasuv Ki'ilu V'chulu. If a person forgets even one thing of his learning, Kol Hashocheach Davar Echad Mimishnaso. If a person forgets one thing of his learning, remember we quoted this yesterday, talking about Rabbi Shimon overcoming the Shechacha. So Rabbi Meir also is Pnimiyas HaTorah. Rabbi Meir also helps us to overcome forgetfulness. Anyone who forgets even one thing of their learning, oy vavoy, shenema raki shomer lecho shmur nafshecha, etc. Make sure you don't forget. So he explains, this is going back on what we've been learning just a moment ago. Ze musav al inyan rishon. This returns to what we were just talking about a moment ago. Hatchilas hamaymer shor biyakov. When we learn, our Torah has to always be a double Torah, Mishnah Torah. V'rotza lomar, b'milas davar echad mimishnaso. What does it mean when Rabbi Meir says, anyone who forgets davar echad, a single matter, mimishnaso, what does that mean? Shemeser hachayus v'ha'aras habori yisbarach shu echad me'elu hadvarim shedover. If he forgets the davar echad, the ultimate davar echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If he takes that Echad, right, which is the essence of what learning is about, out of his learning, then he's forgotten everything. Shenema Raki Shamer Lecho Shmur Nafshecha Ma'od Kisholomei Torah Al Ofen Hanizkar La'el Shia Milashon Mishnah. When a person learns Torah with a double intent, again, he understands its real-world implications, but he also understands the transcendent aspect of Torah. When he includes Hashem in that process, then you feel alive when you learn Torah. If I learn Torah for the right reasons, then the Torah, of course, I feel amazing. I feel connected to Hashem. Of course you feel amazing. Of course, the opposite is also true. If you don't learn for the right reasons, then what? Then you're putting your life on the line. You're disconnected from the source of life, and the whole thing starts to fall apart. Oye Amer, or perhaps we can explain again in a similar fashion, the following diktiku amefarshim. On the one hand, the Mishnah starts off by saying anyone who forgets davar echad, and then it says pentishkach es hadavarim in the plural. So is it davar echad? Or is it forgetting multiple things? V'nira lefarish. Dihinei kol ha-Torah kula hirak lidabek v'kadosh baruch hu. The whole Torah really is just one thing. Even though the Torah is made up of many dvarim harbe. But the Torah, at its root, is one thing. 613 ways to cling to Hashem. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu finishing up with Klal Yisrael, he's giving his final remarks. Siye Moshe Rabbeinu olav v'shalom achar kol ha-tochachos. Moshe Rabbeinu, after all the Musar Shmuzin, Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't ever forget, most important, Uvo Sid Bakun, be davuk to Hashem, cling to Hashem. In Devarim Perak Yud Gimel, cling to Hashem. Kamosha Heshiv Hillel Hazakin Lahanachri. As Hillel Hazakin said in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, when a non-Jew came to Hillel and said, teach me Kol HaTorah Kula, while standing on one foot. And he said to him, I'll tell it to you, it's very simple. That which to you is hated, don't do to your friend. That which to you is hated, to your friend, lo sa'avid, do not do. But I heard from my river Abizal, sane lechavroch doesn't just mean what is hated to your friend, but that which is sane lechavroch lihischavruscha, that which is damaging to your what? Not to your friend, but to your connection. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Savid. You want to know what the essence of Torah is? I can sum the whole thing up for you in one sentence. Don't disconnect from Hashem. 613 mitzvos. Yeah, of course. That's all explanation. Ve'idach perushahu. That's kol HaTorah kula. Everything else is the explanation. HaMitzvos HaSeh, HaKol Lischaber El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every mitzvos HaSeh is about clinging to Hashem. All of the mitzvos lo saseh is to make sure that I don't disconnect from Hashem. He says, mitzvah is a lashon of tzavsa, which means connection. Aveira is avar yod and hey, to move away from yod and hey, to pass away from yod and hey. And therefore, yes, on the one hand, Torah is a lot of different things, but on the other hand, Torah is just one thing. Be davuk to Hashem. Connect yourself to Hashem. Just to continue to cling to Hashem. That's the whole thing. That's what the whole thing is about. And we'll just conclude, he says, this is the idea. Nimtza kol haTorah kula hi davar echad. Therefore, we see that the entire Torah is, in fact, over here, one thing. As it says, Kamosha Kasuv, Achaz diber Elokim, Shtayim zu shamati. Right? The pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem said one thing, and I heard two things. What does that mean? Achaz diber Elokim. Hashem says, I really only want one thing, which is to be connected to you. Hu bishvil davar echad lischaber l'kadosh baruch hu. But shtayim zu shamati. But we heard it as two things. And by two things, we mean two categories. Mitzvos asay and mitzvos lo asay. Nimtza kol ha-mitzvos nechlolos b'mitzvos anochi. All the mitzvos asay are rooted in anochi. And all the mitzvos lo asay are rooted in lo yielacha Elohim acherim. That's what the whole thing is about. And he ends, he says a nice thing. He says that's why there are 248 mitzvos asei, which of course we know corresponds to the body parts, etc. He says 248 mitzvos asei, but they're all rooted in one thing, which is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So it's really one mitzvah, and then 247 kind of subcategories of that. 247, he says, is the gematria of the word remez, because the other ones are just ramazim. They're just hints. To the main idea. The main idea, which is what? To cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what it means. Kol ha-shocheach davar echad mi-mishnaso. If you're missing the main one thing, which we need to keep in, as part of our double Torah, again, living both in this world, in the details, but also never losing sight of the big picture, if you forget that, then what? Then the Torah becomes Dvarim Harbe. Then the Torah becomes a lot of different things. But if you keep the main thing, so then the whole Torah is really just one big thing. Uvo tidvakun. Cling to Hashem. And that's what we're being reminded. Don't forget, you were at Har Sinai, you heard Hashem speak, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Lo Yielecha, Elohim Acherim, right? To live to live with that reality. Someone just told me at the bris this morning that the Majid Sarebi said that the gematria of Shema plus Echad is the same gematria as Amuna plus Hashkacha. Because that's what it's all about. That's the whole thing. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's about living with that awareness of Hashem, realizing that even my Bechira comes from Hashem, that all my success comes from Hashem, and again, to make sure that we continue to learn Torah in the right way. That's the theme that the Kashrus Magid is developing for us in the third parak of Perkei Avos.